blessed who are understanding the reading of this holy word. Advent is an important season in my memories of times gone by. Of course, my father was a minister, so it made sense that we observed Advent as a family, each night lighting the Advent candles and often singing Christmas carols together or reading passages of scripture. And as I remember being young back in the 1970s and 80s, I remember that there were troubles around. I can remember sitting in the car waiting in line for gasoline. Do you ever remember that? Some of you that are yes. That are near my age or older, it was a gas shortage and it was very expensive. And also to buy a house, you had to have a 10% loan or more to buy a home. And most likely you wouldn't necessarily make any money off of it. And if you didn't own it for more than 4 years, there was no way you could sell it without maybe even owing money from the interest on the loan that you bought it from in the first place. So there were some tenuous times around. But as a child, I remember when I would come into my home, there was a peace there. There were faith practices that our family engaged in, and we attended church regularly, and we shared the messages of Jesus with one another to encourage us. And as I look deeper into the whys of why there was peace there, I see that there was a balance, that there's an inner quiet ritual and tradition that comes with Advent and observing the Christmas season that reminds us to be solemn and peaceful and quiet. And then when you leave the door of your house into the hustle and bustle of Christmas, it's crazy, right? I mean, they've been playing Christmas carols in the stores and on the radio station since before Thanksgiving. I mean, since like November 20, I don't even know what. But there's people running around. I mean, they're buying, they have bags, they have, you know, whatever. And then you have people crying because they miss their loved ones or because Christmas is different or they can't get home for the holidays. And so you have this mix of chaos and very quiet peace. Advent is meant to be a peaceful season in the church. It comes between the holidays of Thanksgiving and Christmas in our world, but there are sights and sounds and smells and ceremonies and silences, all of their own in Advent. As I've gotten older into the ways of adulthood, I have found that Advent, because I work in the church perhaps, can be stressful and rushed with preparations, as we had all these beautiful poinsettias that Betty had to pick up yesterday, right? And where's the other Betty? Had to help her bring them in this morning, and I saw Dave and Bruce and everyone, you know, unwrapping them and marking. I mean, it gets busy. I mean, even though we want it to not be, it gets busy even in the church. But I'll tell you something. The experiences of our earliest memories stay with us, especially about the holidays. A busy and rushed Advent can be a joy for people who have extroverted personalities, the ones that love to be around people and hustle and bustle in groups, right? But for those who are more introverted or quieter or like one-on-one opportunities, the Christmas season can be overwhelming. We are in the midst of a sermon series on light and how the light that is born in Bethlehem can take away the power of darkness. And as we consider preparing our own hearts for Christmas, we think about candlelight and wreaths and family. We also think about, I think mostly because of the Christmas songs reminding us, but today was a little bit frosty, of cold and starry nights and snowy hills and window panes that you can write a message in. You find yourself humming familiar Christmas songs, people in coats and boots and greeting each other, and of course, houses with Christmas trees and decorations. And often there are hugs and handshakes and reminders that Christmas is coming. I think, though, that we cannot ignore the reality of the darkness around us. We mentioned earlier about the angel tree and those still recovering from the storm. There are many who don't even have a home. We know that there are people affected from the tornadoes. We know the people in the Philippines are hurting. We also know that some people have had bad health reports We know people are grieving their loved ones. And I think whether we want to admit it or not, there's sort of a tension about our political and social turmoil in our world and in our states. And this sense of burden that is weighing heavy on us can create a sort of tension and apprehension in our spirits. I feel that we feel we are responsible to make a difference. There's a song on the radio right now. I wish I could remember the name. I did not write it down. But it's a great song. And I don't always like the top 40 music. But it's a song where the guy says that he feels the weight of the world on his shoulders and he wants to make a difference. But he realizes he is only one. At the same time that that song is singing and playing on our radios, we hear about Nelson Mandela's passing, right? 95 years old. He was one of the reformers of South Africa and against apartheid. And he died at the very full life age of 95. But he did pass away this week. And when I think about one person and what one person can do, I certainly think of Nelson Mandela. I mean, he was able to do so much with the gift of his life. I also think of Martin Luther King, Jr., who taught us that oftentimes we need to take action, peaceful action, but in ways to make necessary change. But I'm reminded in the story of Christmas that it is not only on each of our shoulders the responsibility. We can turn to God, and we can turn to one another. For that is the message of Christmas. Mary says in Luke 2:19, she treasured up all these things and pondered them on her heart when she knew she was going to be carrying Jesus Christ. The next time we go to admire a Christmas tree or to write a Christmas card, to sing a Christmas song or go to a Christmas party, I want you to remember that balance is what makes it all work. I don't know if you're into football at all, but I've had a few of you come up to me and congratulate me. I don't know what I personally did to have anything to do with Auburn becoming part of the national championship game coming up on January 6th. Yes! But you know, football can be a joy, right? I mean, it can be a wonderful thing. But I think when we think of the game of football, it's also a balance, right? These young men who are on the field, who exert themselves physically way beyond what they probably should, and they have a long life ahead of them, but a short span in their time in football. And I feel that it's a balance for them too, right? You can't just go crazy and ruin your body when you're young, and then you don't have the rest of your life to enjoy, right? And yet at the same time, if you're athletic and good at the sport, then it's wonderful to play and do well. We have to live in balance. And I'm reminded of the story of light and dark, which we are focusing on in this season. And what's beautiful about the scripture is it says that the light comes into the darkness, but the darkness does not overcome it. And what that means for us is that darkness cannot make a difference in light. If light is in the room, it doesn't matter what amount of darkness there is, the light shines. And as we think about Jesus Christ coming into our world and we worry about the direction of education or the arts or our politics or our economy or our health, remember that there is balance in Jesus Christ and in our faith. A few weeks ago, I came home and my light that I have on a timer, which I'm not really sure timers are that safe. Some people say it's a fire hazard, I'm not sure, but I like to come home and there's a light on in my house, right? So I had it on timer, and it wasn't on, and I walked in, and my room was pitch black. And you might have noticed when Anthony was talking to the kids and saying, is anybody scared of the dark? And I was raising my hand. I'm a little bit scared. I mean, when you're in the pitch black and you can't see anything, there is a little bit of myself that is afraid. And I know that's weird. I should trust in the Lord. I'm your pastor. I should be all-encompassing faithful, right? I should not have any fear. But why do you think the Bible says, do not be afraid over and over and over again? I think it's because it's our human nature to fear. But anyway, eventually I turned the light back on and I thought to myself, how spoiled am I? My entire life, I have had the gift of electricity. My entire life. They were doing a review yesterday about Downton Abbey. Have you ever seen that show? It's a wonderful show anyway. It takes place in England in a castle. And it's at the cusp of change where they start to get electricity and they start to get telephones. And the people in the house are trying to learn how to use them, like a toaster or a telephone. And I laugh at myself because I've always had them in my life. I'm spoiled rotten. There are people around the world who don't have lights to flip on a switch, right? But I remind you once again that it's all about the balance. Advent is a season of light, reminding us that light in the midst of darkness is how we survive in this world. It does not tell us that bad things are not going to happen to us. It says that no matter what happens to us, the light will still shine. Jesus Christ makes a difference in this world, and by working in the lives of you and me, we can make a difference too, for now and forevermore.
The hymn that we're going to sing, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, and take it back to the 19th century when Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote the words to the song. It was during the Civil War, so another time of unrest. And he wrote the words, I think it was December the 25th, 1864, when there was much hardship in the United States, a few months before.